In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For more than 30 years, a Presbyterian minister produced and hosted a children's television program, which he began each evening by asking viewers, "Won't you be my neighbor?" That minister was Fred Rogers, and the show was Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Now, some of you may remember the theme song of that show and the lyrics. "It is a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Will you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we are together, we might as well say, will you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor?" Neighbors, we all have them, even if we don't know them. My wife Vivian knows all our neighbors in Sturbridge Oaks, where we have lived for the past 30 years. But like some of you, I can only name a few of my neighbors. So the question in today's gospel from Luke, "Who is my neighbor?" is very relevant and instructive. And the answer from the scriptures is, anyone who needs your help, he's your neighbor. The subject of neighbors came up while Jesus was having a conversation with Jewish leaders. One of them, a savvy lawyer, tried to test Jesus by asking, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered with a question also, "What is written in the law?" The lawyer answered by quoting two verses of scriptures that we now know as the two great commandments: "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Good answer," Jesus said. And then he added, "Do this and you will live." But then, as if to justify himself, the lawyer asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" That question probably was also intended to explore a loophole, as any lawyer would try to do. Isn't that right, Tal? Donna? And Jesus probably read his mind and knew exactly what the lawyer was up to. So Jesus tells us a parable, as he often does, to escape a trap. And he cleverly includes two Jewish religious leaders, a priest and a Levite, and someone the Jews do not get along with. It's the story of the Good Samaritan, which teaches us how to respond to the needs of the abused and neglected, the underprivileged, and even those who consider us their enemies. This is how the gospel writer Luke tells it. He says, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So, likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side." We don't know why the priest and the Levite didn't stop to help. Maybe they were in a hurry to get to church or the synagogue to lead worship. Maybe they thought this was a trap set up by robbers pretending injury so they could lure people to the roadside and then ambush them. Whatever their reasons, their failure to help leads to this question: am I a neighbor to someone who needs my help? Sometimes we follow the lead of or example of people around us instead of submitting to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's possible, you see, that God may call you to help someone whom everyone else has overlooked. Yes, you may be chosen by God to be the conduit for His love and help someone who really needs your help. Sometimes that's why God directs you to a particular road on a particular day. And God may place it in your heart to help even those who consider you their enemies. Yes, my friends, the Bible commands us to love our neighbors, even those we don't know or with whom we don't agree. That's probably why Jesus added the Samaritan to the story. Even though we don't know much about the victim, let's assume he was Jewish. And we know from Scripture that Jews and Samaritans didn't get along very well. But it was the Samaritan who took pity on the wounded man. It's like a clansman helping a wounded black man escape slavery. Think about that. It may surprise us that someone we least expect will stop to help us when we really need help. If we are honest, we will admit that sometimes we don't expect kindness or courtesies from others because of their race, nationality, or appearance. We have a tendency, you see, to stereotype people and are pleasantly surprised when they do something good for us. The Samaritan in this story fits that category very well. He was multiracial, half Jewish, half Assyrian, and he was hated by some Jews. Luke tells us that this Samaritan was moved with pity. He bandaged the wounds and took care of this wounded man. The next day, what he did, he took out 2 denarii. At that time, not a money. Gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of this man. And when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Without a doubt, my friends, the Samaritan, not the priest, not the Levite, was the good neighbor. Even the lawyer knew it. And when Jesus asked, who's the neighbor? He answered, the one who had mercy on him. You see, my friends, Jesus then commanded him, go and do likewise. Yes, my brothers and sisters, the Bible commands us to be the good neighbor. No excuses, no apprehensions, no fear of the unknown. Just be the neighbor who transcends religious, racial, ethnic, cultural differences. And help. Don't ask, if I stop to help this person, what will happen to me? Instead, the question should be, if I do not stop, what will happen to this person? That's the question. We need such an attitude to understand and respond to the plight of the 12 million undocumented immigrants and the migrants from South America who are seeking asylum in our country. As we gather here this morning in worship, Our government has ordered immigration and custom officers to arrest and detain dozens of people. Many of them born in this country after their parents came here seeking asylum. That some of you, I can't help but think of our neighbors who are attempting to escape crime and brutality by walking hundreds of miles to our southern borders. As a parent and grandparent, oh my friends, I feel this agony of the children who have been separated from their parents and put in what some people are calling cages. I feel for them. The issue of immigration, you see, is complex. And I'm not trying to bring politics to the church, but it is difficult to come up with any justification in to excuse ourselves from being good neighbors to the undocumented community. I wonder what we would do or expect if the roles were switched and we or our loved ones were the undocumented immigrants. What would be your attitude if someone you know very well, or maybe Deacon John, was an undocumented immigrant who, by the way, is law-abiding, a taxpayer, contributing to the good of our society? What would be your response then? Will you advocate for me because I'm not one of those people? My brothers and sisters, we must not act like the priest and the Levite, too busy to get involved. We must take time to help those who really need our help. Amen. Are you too careful to risk the unknown? Or will you be a neighbor to anyone who God brings across your path? Anyone who needs a loving touch from a gracious and merciful God? In the memorable words of Mr. Rogers, someone today is asking, won't you be my neighbor? Will you? Could you? Won't you be my neighbor? Amen.